today's discussion with Nikki Deloge and JC Doten was just too fun, too exciting, too amazing to wait for a normal Thursday. So I had to drop it today. Just had to go ahead, create a bonus episode because I could not deprive you all from this wonderful conversation with two absolutely amazing women. So, Goldie and Marla, let's go. This podcast was created by fans for fans and is not affiliated with or sponsored by Hallmark or the Hallmark Channel. Today is absolutely amazing because I have the two stars from Curious Cater. I have Nikki and JC, and it is Girl Power Tuesday. Awesome. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, so great. Yeah, thanks for having us, Eric. We really appreciate it. I mean, every day with JC is a good day.
Oh, back at you, lady. Back at you.
I will not disagree. So, Nikki, this is your second time coming on the podcast, and fairly quickly, because we talked to you, I don't know, 6 weeks ago with True Justice. But JC is our first ever three-time. I'm feeling like Saturday Night Live, Eric, like I should send you a robe or something like that.
I was going to say, I need one of those green jackets that they get at the Masters, right? Isn't that like the golf when they're there, what, like five or six times? I'm requesting that.
All right.
Or at the very least, like a plaque or something.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, you know what you need then? You need to go ahead and get Hallmark, you know, on the act so they can go and film two more so you can get the five time. Because the five is like that magic number. So,
yes.
Well, we would not be upset about that.
Well, Nikki, you pretty much own Hallmark. No. So I think you just need to go ahead, pull the strings, make it happen. Say, hi, this is Nikki. I'll be where
I'm ordering 15 Curious Caterers.
Yes. Where do these film? I should know that. I don't.
Oh, Vancouver.
Vancouver. Okay. I'll be in Vancouver. You know, in 2 weeks. Please have the set ready to go.
And JC's clap, please. This specific Curious Caterer was really fun because we got to film on the island in Victoria. And it was so awesome. I'm sorry about my cat. It's the loudest. I don't know if you can hear my cat, but it's the loudest cat in America. And it was so fun because it felt a little like we were away at camp, because usually when we're filming in Vancouver, it's kind of like everybody, you know, they go home, everybody goes to their own things. JC and I will have dinner or something like that, but we were on an island, and so we were like, hey, what are you guys doing this weekend, or what are you doing, or what? And also, when we would get, we only filmed in two locations. One of the castles we were at for 2 weeks, and
one of the castles we shot at. How posh are you?
We really had an embarrassment of riches in this movie. It was so fun, Eric. And but the one of the castles we shot at for 2 weeks, the base camp was too far away. So once we got to set in the morning, all of us, we were there until the end. And so everyone was just together all the time. Nobody was going back to their trailers. Nobody. And we were all hanging out. It was a blast. It was so much fun.
It was so much fun. We had an epic karaoke night.
We did.
Which I feel like we need to repeat on any more of these that we do, because that was the best.
It was so much fun. We were going to go for a couple hours, cut to 4 hours later. We were still singing. Also, there was so much talent on, I mean, Andrew, Andrew Walker, but the other Andrew that was one of our guest actors, was a singer in real life. He was in a band. He was incredible. Graham, who was another guest actor, he had an incredible voice. Everybody knows that JC does. I mean, she was on Broadway. She's incredible. But like, there was so much talent that showed up in that room. And I was like, look at all this talent in here. Brock Street Boys.
Yeah, Brock. Oh my gosh, Brock absolutely killed it. And then you get up and you start rapping out of nowhere. She's just like spitting rhymes like it's no deal.
I had lost my voice, and I was trying to keep my voice through the movie. And And I've been still kind of repairing it. I have to have like a little procedure done, but I have to get through this draft that I'm writing for a Christmas movie right now, and then I'll get it done. But I couldn't help it. No Diggity came on, and I was like, all right, like I gotta do the rap of No Diggity.
It was chef's kiss. It was so great.
All right, JC, what was your big song though? Your
She
karaoke
has
song.
a
a bunch,
bunch, but
What's Up by Four Non-Blondes was my piece de resistance.
very nice,
And
very
all
nice.
those notes in that song, I mean, she killed it. I mean, everybody in the room was like, we went nuts. It
Towards
was
the end,
so
I was
fun.
like hunched over, like gasping for breath.
You were amazing.
Well,
Oh,
I sent
thanks,
you the one
buddy.
quick note because for some reason I was why was I was needing a picture of you, and so I was like going through your older Instagram back when you posted actual pictures of yourself, and I saw the thing where you're like started tagging everything in Detroit, and you said you were in Jersey Boys when you
Oh,
were in
me.
Detroit
Oh,
for that. For you.
yeah, no,
So
I was in Detroit for, I think we were there for 4 weeks or so, I want to say. And it was great because it was over Thanksgiving and they invited us to come perform in the Thanksgiving Day parade. So we all got to go with like our costumes and our wigs, and we were like on the street doing a couple of numbers from the show. And yeah, it was really cool. I really enjoyed it there.
and being an Ohio native, did you go up to Michigan and go, wow, life could have been so much better had my parents just
You know,
brought me up north?
I never pretty.
I never partook in the Michigan-Ohio rivalry, but I did spend a bit of time. Wait, where were we other than Detroit? I think Detroit was the only place, but yeah, but I did
That's
actually after the parade, I drove home and then got to spend Thanksgiving with my folks. So it was nice being close.
okay. All right. I guess we should actually talk a little bit about some movie stuff here.
Sure.
All right, JC, when you were first cast as Marla, did you have any idea that you thought this role would turn into a reoccurring four time? Because most of your roles are one role, right? And now you have a reoccurring one.
I had no idea. I had no clue what the plans were for this thing. I don't even know if that was the plan from the beginning. Like I'm completely out in the dark on that one. But when they reached out about the second one, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I get to do two. And then it three and then four. And I feel so unbelievably lucky because it's not often that A, in this world, and B, just in general in the industry, that you get to come back again and again and again and play with the same people and perform the same character. So I count my blessings every day, and every time they call me, I'm just like, thank you.
Well, as we were talking before we started recording, you're saying you like Marla because Marla and JC are essentially so similar. Now, when you like first had that role, did you think that, or is this something like kind of evolved, you has it evolved into you more?
No, totally. From page one of my sides during my audition, Nikki can probably attest to this too. Sometimes you'll just get sides or get an audition where you read it and you know exactly who that person is. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to go, oh, why are they saying this? Or what would they do in this moment? You just can see it. And that's exactly what happened with Marla. I was just like, oh, like I know this person because it's me. And so I think that's yeah, it's rare that that happens, but when it does, you just that light bulb clicks and you're like, oh, okay, I got it. So yeah, no, from day one, she was this.
Okay, and then so Nikki, yours are a little bit different though, because you were cast as the lead. You know, the side characters, obviously, we love it when they continue, and obviously Marla did, but you knew that you were going to be obviously in, you can't have Curious Cater without Goldie, right? So for you, having never been in the mystery, the Hallmark mystery, what was it like when you were like, hey, I'm coming into the mystery game now from being, you know, in all the rom-com? Because like you say, the Hallmark crowd's fairly small. You guys know each other. And so a lot of the people who you've been either in some of your rom-coms with or just know have been in the mystery. What was it like when you were like, I'm now in the game?
Oh, well, I mean, I would say much like JC, I was so excited. I actually had been developing family history mystery
Okay.
when this came to me. And so I was developing that, and this came forward, and they were like, it's you and Andrew Walker. And I was like,
Shocker.
it's like, I can't say no. Andrew was like, I can't say no. How fun would this be? But also, it was at a time at the network where they were actually going, they were getting rid of all mysteries.
Right.
They were going to turn that channel into drama. And so, family history mystery that I was developing had originally started as a mystery, but then we pivoted and we were going to be doing it as a drama for the network. And so, they threw one curious caterer out, and they were like, well, let's just do this last one and we'll call it a day. And then they were going to make the pivot into drama for Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, just was just going to be Hallmark drama. And curious caterer came out, and then it was the fans, really. Like, the fans were the ones that now it is the Hallmark Mystery Channel. But the fans were the ones that decided that. And luckily, our network listened, because I do think there is this niche place for a cozy mystery. You know, we all watch the darker ones that you'll see on like a Hulu or Netflix or stuff like that. But there is something to us giving the audience who loves Hallmark, who comes to us to, yes, for the feel-good stories, but then also, there's a specific way that we do mystery at this network, which is not, it's not too bloody. It's not going to be too scary. It's not going to, it's towing that line of, you know, making people's heart race, but not race so much that they can't go to sleep at the end of the movie. You know what I mean?
No
It's like
nightmares.
we exactly, no nightmares. So we didn't think we were getting another one, actually. Like, for a very long time, we thought that that was
Oh,
it.
really?
Yeah. And then out of the blue, actually, they called and said, we want to do a second curious caterer. And I have to say, I was so grateful, because like JC said, it's not often. I mean, I've been lucky enough to work on, you know, TV series where you've gotten to play a character for years, and it's such a gift. It is such a treat and such a blessing on so many levels, for just the actual reality of your life as an actor, where you're going from job to job. You know, we have an incredible job. It is awesome. I love being able to play pretend for a living, or create characters on the page, or, you know, I love every aspect of the creative process. But the hard part of that is you are literally going from job to job. So in real life, for people, they get a job as a teacher, and you're a teacher. You can be a teacher forever. You show up, you do your job, you do it well. You can do that for the rest of your life, and you know every day you are coming to work and you are getting a paycheck. As an actor, you may work for, you know, 2 days on something, and then you might not get another job for 8 months. You might not get another job for 3 months. You might not get another job for a year and a half. It's so hard. So anytime, just in a realistic paying your bills kind of way, when you can get something that continues, it's life-changing. Creatively, it's also life-changing. Because you get to return to this character and build on that and say, okay, well, we've shown this. What else can we do? And, you know, even moving forward with Curious, one goal of mine is to make sure that every character is getting an arc. You know, we still don't know much about Goldie. We don't know anything about her. We know a lot about Tom, and we'll know even more about Tom after this movie, but we don't know why Goldie became a caterer. We don't know anything about her parents. We don't know anything about her history. We don't know how her and Marla became friends. We don't know. So my hope is to learn more about Goldie. My hope is to really see JC, Marla, come to life and get to know her more and give her a really big, beautiful arc. To From Mason to like for him to find something, like, let's see him do something that he's great at. You know, because so far he's a comedic relief, and he struggles a little bit to get it right sometimes in the detective department, and we enjoy that. But what does he do really well, you know? So that's my hope moving forward with the series, is that creatively we just keep getting to build upon that, which is just such a true gift, and it's because of our audience, and we could not be more grateful. Thank you, everyone that keeps tuning in.
Yeah, well, it's like I say, it's definitely one of the ones that's more popular. And then when we or last time we talked, I was talking to Lisa Hamilton Daly right after
Yeah,
we had
that's
talked,
right.
and that's what she had said too, that the mystery, and I had never heard that before, but the mystery was going away, and then it switched and came back with a vengeance, and all the way to nope, the
Yeah.
whole channel's mystery now. So having a Hallmark mystery podcast, I was very happy with that decision.
It's a
But
good
so
time to
kind of like
start
you know it's like,
that.
hey, you know who keep get to keep going and stuff. All right, so JC, when we were waiting for Nikki to join, I asked you what your favorite role was, and you're like, oh, I hate making these decisions of the favorites. But my next question I do have for each of you is, what are
Yeah,
your
JC, what is your
three?
favorite role? I actually did pick Marla, and I even said, I was like, it's not because we're doing this. I said, it's because she's me. Because She
I
is.
just get to
She
have
is.
so much fun with her. So I did that. And then I also said Katrine and Ivy and Bean. That was my
Oh,
second.
yeah.
So yeah.
But so my question though
Good
is,
one.
what are your three favorite movies of all time? Not that you're in, like that you watch.
Oh, Labyrinth. Number one will always
Oh,
be number one for the rest of my life.
she loves Labyrinth so much.
All right, here you
Labyrinth
were.
is
By the
my.
way, wait. 10 minutes ago, like, oh, I can never make decisions on favorites. Now it's like, kaboom, Labyrinth.
But also, JC got
Labyrinth
to
is.
wear this headpiece that was very reminiscent of Labyrinth, and it was so
A
in this
dress
last
too.
Curious Cater. It was She looked like a princess. She looked like a Labyrinth princess. It was so great because I know how much she loves that movie.
I was losing my mind. I also just found out that they do a Labyrinth themed ball, like a masquerade ball, every
You
year in Los
have to
Angeles.
go.
So
We should
I will be
go.
coming, and let's do it. Oh my gosh. Nick, when we're offline with this, we'll talk about
We
costumes. We'll
should go
organize everything.
together.
But yeah,
Okay.
I would love that. End of August.
And then what are your
Love
other
it.
two
Yeah,
movies?
next two.
Other two movies. Three Musketeers
Oh, that's
from like
good.
way back in the 90s. Do you remember? And
Wait, who is
then,
in it?
oh, what's another? Oliver Platt. Oh gosh, help me, someone. You ask me these questions and my brain just goes bleh.
I'll
Same.
look it
I
up on
want.
IMDb and you can just
Yes,
tell
please
us what your
do.
third is.
And then I want to say, oh Lord, can I get a pass on this one?
Wait, Charlie
Can I phone a
Sheen?
friend?
How do you not
Can
get
I phone
Charlie
a friend?
Sheen?
Charlie Sheen.
Or
I
am I
mean,
looking up the wrong one?
oh, I don't know. No, it was
I'm
back.
at Three Musketeers from 1993 with Charlie Sheen, Kiefer Sutherland, and Chris O'Donnell.
Yes, that's it.
Okay, little no-name people, but okay, I understand how you forgot them.
It's
All
because
right,
when you
or wait, or were you talking
when I get put into a
Mouseketeers and you're going back
no.
to the
Well,
old Mouseketeer days?
I do love the Mouseketeers. Yes, we all love the Mouseketeers. And I think my third one, I'm picking all movies from my childhood. I feel like I'm like in a kid day today. So I'm gonna say Casper.
Oh
Oh, Casper
my. I
was
don't
one of
think
my
that's on
favorite
anyone's
movies
top three list, so
when I was a
kudos to
kid. I
you.
know, but like it's the stuff that reminds me like of when I was a kid, and I love going back to that. So maybe not the most like cinematic achievement films, but they have heart and they mean something to me.
Yeah.
So
Okay. Well, so far you're wrong, so we'll see if Nikki gets it right. What your top three?
I don't think I will because
no pressure.
mine are all from the past too. I mean, it's really hard to pick three for me. I would put Funny Girl up there.
Oh, so you're going way back.
Oh yeah, I mean that was the movie that well that and Singing in the Rain, those two movies for me as a little girl when I was watching them with my grandmother, I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I was like, wait, you can sing and dance and act in a movie? Like, you know? So Singing in the Rain and Funny Girl were really up there for me. And then, I mean, there's just the movies that, like, every time they're on TV, I have to watch them. Those are kind of, I think it's different from, like, favorite movies. Like, I was a big old Star Wars fan and Indiana Jones from back in the day, but I also loved, like, Can't Buy Me Love. Like, those movies, I loved Breakfast Club. I loved Breakfast at Tiffany's. God, it's really hard for me to pick, like, a top three. Eric, what are yours?
Well, the correct answer is The Princess Bride. Hands down, the
Oh,
best movie
that's a
of all
great,
time.
great movie. See?
Incredible. Again, would be in there with these movies for me that I've watched 500 times. And if it's on TV, I'm going to watch The Princess Bride every single time. So it's hard. It's like, I know sometimes people, like, artistically will give, like, a favorite, but it's like, what is that movie that every time it's on you watch? Princess Bride is definitely up there too. It's a great movie.
And then two and
Absolutely.
three are debatable. I'll give you that. But number
I
one is
wouldn't even
this
put them in the
objectively
same
The Princess Bride.
category.
Then I have Love
I
Actually and The Graduate.
Oh, The Graduate
Oh,
is
okay.
also so good.
Great movies. Oh my
Watch Love
gosh.
Actually every Christmas for sure. Yeah, at Christmas you tell the truth.
It,
Do you remember
yeah,
that line from Love
and the
Actually?
thing is, yes, it has not aged well in certain aspects, but whatever. Times change and you can't look at everything
Oh,
through a
I've
current
got a.
lens.
So if I had to pick one from this year, I just remember I just watched it the other day. American Fiction. I don't know if y'all have seen that one,
I
but
am dying to see that, JC. I've got it.
I think,
Actually, I got it
Nikki,
on my list.
as a writer, I think that you'll really
That's
appreciate
what
the,
I've
like,
been told.
mechanisms that they used to tell the
Yeah.
story. It's just so perfect.
Well, that was my second
Yeah.
one is what have you binged? So is that streaming? American
That
Fiction?
yeah,
You can
it's a movie.
stream.
It's yeah.
Yeah, you can stream that. What am I streaming? I
What was the
mean,
last thing you binged?
this, well, I mean, I am not ashamed of this, of my affair with reality television. JC knows this. I love reality television. There is nothing that puts me at ease more than a housewife screaming at another housewife. I don't really don't know what it is, because, like, in general, like, I have never really have drama in my life, but, like, I love some reality show drama. But besides that, what am I binging? I mean, the last season of The Bear, phenomenal writing, phenomenal acting. I mean, it's so good. What else are you binging, JC?
We just finished Palm Royale last night.
I'm
I'm
getting ready to
watching
start.
that. I'm
Alice,
watching that. Allison Janney is probably my favorite actress on the planet right now.
She
Her
is,
character in
period.
this, flawless, flawless. I love her so much. And Kristen Wiig obviously is just, honestly, there's not a bad apple in that entire series.
I
It's perfect.
agree. Allison Janney is just, like, I think about, like, when people say, like, if you could have anybody's career, if you could have a career that mirrors somebody, it would be hers, because there's nothing she hasn't done. There's nothing she can't do. I mean, she has done multicam, single cam, drama, film, comedy. Like, she does everything. She's incredible. And she's also great in
I
that.
had one tiny little scene with her in Lu, her Netflix movie that just came out.
Really?
When was that, last year? I it was like a 30-second scene, but I was like, yes, I will do it. Put me in a room with Allison Janney.
I mean,
So
I've
that
met
was
her a
like,
couple of times. I haven't gotten to work with her. That's
oh
awesome,
man.
JC, but I've met her. I'd run into her many, many times. At one time in my life, I was running into her constantly. And she was like, oh my God, it's you again. And I was like, please, I really and truly, like, we ran into each other at, like, Lance Bass's birthday party. Then we ran into each other the next day at the farmer's market. And then we ran into each other again at Jones and to eat. And then we ran into each other 5 days after that at the Janet Jackson concert, but in Vegas. We were sitting right next to each other. And I just turned to her. She looked at me like, you
You're
are
stalking
you
me.
following? Yeah, exactly. And I was like, I swear, I promise you, like, I promise, 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 I'm not stalking you. Although I will. Like I will.
You know what? Bring me along. I will happily stalk Allison Janney.
Yeah.
By the way, that sounds like very Goldie Marla-ish.
I know. I'm four episodes into Palm Royale. And I'm having fun watching it. What? I mean, Carol Burnett, come on.
All right. And Nikki, by the way, sorry, you're just showing your life's a little different than mine, because earlier you're like, oh yeah, at the castle that we, you know, hung out at. And now you're like, oh yeah, at Lance Bass's birthday party, just once again, casually just dropping that.
Nikki knows all the good
Sorry,
people.
Let me just pick that name up off the ground.
You're Allison Janney was a really good segue to what I was going to ask you next. So in the Hallmark movies, you seem to have lately, and I'm sorry if this sounds bad, it's not meant to be, but you're playing the woman with a lot of trauma, like, you know, the dead husband, dead grandparents, or, you know, just whatever. These kind of like, I don't want to say downer characters, but they're not like a lot of fun, right? They're more serious roles that you seem to be getting in the Hallmark movies. But then you come over here to Curious Cater, and between Goldie with Marla, you do get to, you know, exercise some of those, you know, comedy chops. But then when we talked last time, you know, going back to Awkward, you know, which obviously was not a serious show. Like,
no.
Do you miss being able to be in more comedy than seems like you get to do?
Oh, I miss it so much. And actually, I mean, I've even asked the network, I'm like, guys, can I just do like a funny comedic Christmas movie this year? I mean, I actually did have my agent call the network to have the conversation because, listen, I have been very lucky to play some of the more serious characters that have been impacted by grief and trauma. And, you know, World Record Christmas was such a special thing to be a part of. And we just won a Christopher Award, which was so nice, for best cable TV movie. And that was such an honor to, you know, to be a part of that. But I was also doing those movies at a time in my life where I was experiencing myself a lot of grief and a lot of trauma. And the last 6.5 years have been really hard. It's been really, really hard between, you know, all the heart surgeries with my kid and losing my dad and everything that we went through in that amount of time. And I have to say, I was begging the network, actually. I really, really need to just go do something fun and where I can dip in back into my comedy. And because even I'm curious, like, you know, I'm very aware that Goldie is the straight person to Marla, right? So even on the page, sometimes we'll get funny lines and I'll say, this is a Marla line, JC, you need to take this. And it's a joke. And like, do I want it? Yes. It's not the characters and their dynamic that we've set up. Goldie's the straight person and Marla is like the comedic, just like Andrew's the straight person and Tom's the straight person and Mason is the comedic relief in that way. So even in that, I don't really get to exercise the comedic chops, although it is far more playful than say A Gift of Peace, where it's a woman who lost her husband and she's trying to figure out how to just be in the world after such a loss like that. So listen, again, just like the fans did with Curious Cater, the reason we survived, the reason we have a mystery channel, the reason Curious Cater is continuing is because of the fans. I'm just going to give it over to the fans. Fans,
okay.
Email the network. Tell them that you want me to do a funny movie. Just like, let's do it.
Over on my other Hallmark movie reviewer, the one that focuses on the rom-coms, I'll get on that one. That'll be part of my
thank you, Eric. I appreciate it.
Now, I will say, is a little, I guess, you know, you're on the podcast, so I have to kiss your butt and everything like that. But I will say, I think part of the reason probably why you do get those roles, and not to knock the other Hallmark, you know, actors, because I love them all, but probably your depth to your acting maybe has more range. And that may be why you get some of them, where some people are more just comedic-y or whatever, whereas you have a better range. That's what I'll say.
Thank you. So
take it as a compliment
that
you're just a very talented actor.
I will.
Actor.
I'll take that. And I receive it with a lot of love. Thank you so much.
No, I do think you like hacked my computer and are looking at my questions because you're leading right into it. because
okay.
as you're talking about Goldie being the straight character with Marla, one of the things with the sidekicks in most mysteries are the sidekick tends to be sort of the rational one, that compass trying to keep that sleuther on the straight and narrow, whereas we know that is not Marla. And I think maybe a little, you know, John Christian Plummer, who first created the character, I think it may be a little of his thing, because when you look at his Mystery Island, he has the same thing where the sidekick, Baroness Janie, is crazy and fun and leading there. But Marla is the character, rather than who's going to keep Goldie out of jail, is going to be the one sitting next to her in jail saying, this was worth it, right? So, I mean, it's got to be fun having these characters with that dynamic, because it's not what you normally see in our Hallmark mysteries.
I will always also say, you know, and as a writer, I know this too. I think what a joy to be able to work on something. Like when you first write something and put it out there, and when you're doing like a one-off Christmas movie, you don't really get a chance to do this. But like, I've been lucky enough to, between True Justice and Family History and then Curious, to be able to have a continuation of these worlds that we've created. And Jonathan, you know, he watched that first one and he saw what JC did. And he was like, oh, she's funny. She's talented. And then for that next one, he wrote towards that for her. And then you got to see even more of that in the next one. Because, well, number one, he's a really good writer. But number two, he's a really smart writer. And so if you're smart as a writer, you're going to go back and you're going to watch all those other movies. You're going to see what those actors really are good at. And then you're going to write towards those strengths. And so he brought Marla to life in an even bigger way, I feel like, in number two. Wouldn't you say, JC?
I totally agree. I totally agree. Yeah. There was definitely a very solid idea of who that character was in the first, but yeah, once we hit that second script and I read that and I was like, oh, okay, all right, we're really fleshing it out now. And I will totally second what you said. He is just such a smart writer, and I really love his words. I really love saying his words. It's brilliant, and they just come out so easily. It's just so natural the way that he constructs all of that. It's great.
Yeah.
That's one of the things when we reviewed it way back in the day. I've always thought Marlo's a great character, but that second one, just that relationship. And that's why we also like mysteries, because like we were saying earlier, you do get the arcs, but that is the one where, as you said, Nikki, it just was light years ahead, that relationship and what it became. And I think that's, for me at least, one of the things I most enjoy is, and sorry, he's not on here. I told, JC, the story, which we'll get into a little bit before, but I enjoy the relationship between Marla and Goldie more than the one between Tom and Goldie. I just think that those two are just great together. And whenever you guys are on screen, I'm just cracking up and
well, then you're going to love number five.
So yeah. I think I will.
Well, speaking and by of, the way, I agree, Eric. I think that, you know, Hallmark has been such a place where it's these romantic and love relationships. And while I do think it has to be a part of it, it is our network, it is in our brand, it's what we do. I have also enjoyed the relationship between these two buddies that get themselves in little pickles and, you know, or get themselves out of pickles. Those moments on set when the two of us are playing and we're trying to figure out, like, how do we make this funnier? What can we do here? Like, I have so much joy, both of us do. We have so much joy in those moments. And I think that's what you feel when you watch. I mean, I know years ago, somebody asked me, you know, who haven't you worked with in the Hallmark universe? And I was like, I feel like I've worked with the boys. I want to work with the women. I want to do a movie where there's like two female leads or three female leads. And we're like going on this adventure, and sure, there can be love, but there's something so beautiful about seeing women champion each other. I mean, I know I love housewives and I know I love seeing them fight, but like really what I love to play and watch are female characters, like being there for each other and that kind of like buddy comedy thing that they do. So that is also one of my favorite things about this series.
I will say the Santa Summit. And
if I can,
the Santa Summit from last year was why it was one of my absolute favorites, and that's what it was. It was this year's three men and a baby kind of thing, right? It was the three women doing it, and I agree. And by the way, that's why this episode is girl power, because of Marla and Goldie. So, all right, sorry, JC, take it over.
Oh, that's all right. No. I was just going to say, touching on what Nikki said when she was talking about how we try and figure out like where the funny is in the scenes and whatnot. I feel like even more so as we go further and further down the road, we just kind of have the same ideas. Like we've started to like just sort of do things naturally and we're like, oh, wait, okay, that's perfect. Like you're doing that, I'm doing that. Great, let's run with it. But it's that in life. I feel like our friendship has gotten to that point too. So I think it's only going to get stronger and stronger as we go. If we get to, fingers crossed.
This is just creepy now, because you guys definitely have hacked my computer, because that's the question was how much of the characters.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, it's how much of the characters are really at this point, like what's written on the paper versus like, hey, we're going to give you guidelines and you two are now really developing that character more so than being sort of directed in that way of those characters.
I think if you're lucky and you have the right creative team, right? Which we, you know, are so lucky to have with Emily Merlin and Paul, who's directed all of these. He is such a great leader on set. I have to give so much up to him, because he comes to the table with zero ego, period. Mm-hmm. And it's such a rarity in our industry, right? Because for whatever reason we come to it, yes, we love creating, we love this. It's so many of us, right? A need to prove or a need to be liked or a need to be seen or a need to be heard or all of the above. And there's like, sometimes that's tied up into it. And then but on our set, there's none of that. It's best idea wins. It doesn't matter who it comes from. It could come from a person who just showed up on set that one day, or Lachlan. He often goes around and whispers ideas into people's ears and says, hey, what if you did this? You know, and that's the set. There's no ego. And I always say like, that's so much of Paul setting a precedent for best idea wins. No ego here. So you can kind of come to him and pitch him anything. Or if something's really working, he'll be like, I like that. Keep going with that. Like, keep doing that. And when you have a director that's at the helm, because a film is a director's medium, right? You know, as much as any of us in a number one or number two position would be like, but would say like, it's our set. I don't believe that. It's not my set. It's Paul's set. And we have all come to play on this. And, he's so open to collaboration. He's so open to ideas. I could say to him, Paul, hey, listen, I'm watching this because I'm always at the monitor. And I don't know, something about this beat is feeling a little off. Like it's just not working. And he'll be like, I know it's not working. Let's figure it out. And then he will, you know, proceed to have kind of a team meeting to figure it out, you know? And it's just such a rarity, and he's so incredible. I hope he gets to direct every single one of these that we do. I know I always am like asking for him, but it also is Emily Merlin, who's our executive at the network, who allows us to play, who allows us to kind of come off the page a little bit, because she could easily be like, no, these are the words on the page. This is what you're saying. And she doesn't do that. She gives us space to really feel that out and bring, you know, what's happening in real life to life on camera.
Yeah, I totally agree. The creative freedom that we have on this project, I don't think I've ever experienced that much freedom with the characters, and being able to like Nikki said, really like work things out when it doesn't feel quite right, and having people up the ladder actually listen to what you have to say about it. So it's a really refreshing place to be. But I will say though, I know we do have to give Paul a lot of credit for that, but Nikki being the number one, I know you said it's not your set, but the the energy and the positivity that you bring, you do set a massive example for everyone on set, and it makes it such a joyful place to be at work every single day that we get to be there. So I do have to give you credit as well, because there is a trickle down effect there, and you are nothing but incredible every single time you step on. So thank you.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. Ditto. I mean, we're really lucky, Eric, really, seriously. It is a very special thing, I will say, because this does not happen all the time. It does not happen where like you just come to set and it's just an ego free zone, you know, and it really is. And I think it's what makes it so much fun. I think the fans and the audience feel that. And, you know, sometimes you make a movie and it's a really hard movie to make, whether the chemistry or whether there's some kind of intense disconnect or whatever, sometimes it's hard, and then you make it and it comes out and it's great. You know, for us, like, we do care about the product so much that's being put out there, but we also care about the experience. It's the minutes and moments of your life. And the crew people that are showing up, everyone. I mean, you know, those PAs that come in, and they're not making a lot of money, right? They are making barely enough money to pay their bills. They're trying to get experience and climb their way up the ladder so that they can make a living in this industry. And so everybody's working these long, hard hours. And the least that you could do is make it an awesome experience for everyone. That's the very least, you know, is that everybody gets to come to work and they get to know that, like, it's a safe environment. It's a fun environment. You know, if the camera guy's got an idea, like, all ideas on the table. You know, it needs to feel like that for everything. If not, if it doesn't, then, like, what are we doing?
Absolutely. if it's not a fun place to be, why would you want to be there? But I will say that, like, it's very, unfortunately, it's rare to have everyone sort of on that same page. We do kind of have a bit of a magical thing here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of magical things, in Fatal Vows, Marla, you ended with a little hint of you're going to go bad boyish, right? So, first of all, can you say, does Marla get a little love going on here? And then secondly, have you ever in the Hallmark universe had love interest, or have you always just been the friend to, like, on the outside?
So I'm going to leave a little bit of a teaser out there. I don't want to give you too much. So you're going to have to watch to see what happens.
Like, there's a doubt I wouldn't,
with that,
but okay.
Storyline. I'm going to leave that one for April 26th premiere day for you to figure out. But I am usually just the friend. I'm usually the sidekick, the best friend, the comedy, I haven't really ever had that sort of, like, big love scene, the big love art, the romance thing. But it's coming. I feel it. Something's gonna happen.
It's important for, I mean, that's a pet peeve of mine, right? When we do movies and we don't give all our supporting characters something to chew on. So I'm glad Marley gets to chew on something in this.
Okay.
Num, num, num.
All right, Marla, Marla's a little
figuratively
crazy.
Okay. Not literally.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, figuratively.
All right. Figuratively. Well, he is the bad boy, so I don't know. All right, so Nikki, as I said before, that I talked to Lisa Hamilton Daly right after
we
talked, and I was talking about the things we like and want to see more in some of the mystery movies, and one of them was, we've been seeing it in the rom-coms, are these cameos, and said, hey, I'd love to see some cameos in the mysteries. So you have as we mentioned earlier, this very vast network of friends who are in the Hallmark game here as the other leads. So who would you say, you know what, I'm going to, you know, it can't be Benjamin because you already did your, like, hey,
I know,
have your martini.
I already
right?
called my favorite in on that one.
So who are you going to, and it can be male or female. Doesn't have to be. Whatever.
Kimberly Sustad.
Okay. I would not argue with that.
I love her. I love her. She is, not only is she just a talent. I mean, again, she can do comedy. She can do drama. She's also a brilliant writer. And we, you know, but I just feel like it's so weird. For me, I'm working on moving my way into Vancouver a little bit more, because I feel like so many of the people, like JC and Kimberly and Paul Campbell, but especially JC and Kimberly, it's like I should be doing life with them. Like, Kimberly has two daughters and I have two sons and they're right around the same age. And I was just up there, not like for spring break, we were in Whistler, and then I popped down just for a few hours to see Kimberly and her kids. And it's just like in that moment, I was like, gosh, I feel like I should be living down the street from you and doing life with you. So I love her as a person, but I think as a talent, she is just a dynamo. So I would say Kimberly, or if I was going male, I would go with Paul Campbell. Again, his comedic timing, like, is, I don't even know, like, he's so fast. We go and do these Christmas cons, and we're all up on stage together, like Tyler and me and Andrew and Kimberly and Paul. And he just, it's one-liner after one. He's so quick, and he will have you laughing until your stomach hurts. And I also just think he's a really good actor. Again, brilliant writer, so smart, so good, awesome human. I would pick one of those two people. JC, I want you to pick somebody too.
Well, I think Kimberly would fit right into the cast, by the way.
Wouldn't she?
Like, whatever, Marla's sister or something like that. But she would be.
It would be amazing.
Yeah, she would be hilarious on that. She's, by the way, she's on my Mount Rushmore of.
She should be.
Actresses.
You'll love her.
She likes my stuff on there too, on my social media. So I like her even for that.
You'll love her. She's a really, really, really special.
All right, JC, who are you picking then?
Oh Lord. Nikki, all day long.
Yeah.
She's the lead.
I only ever want to work with Nikki. No, you know what it is? I want Goldie to have like an evil twin that comes in and like some crazy stuff happens. So I want to see like double Nikki. There you go.
Oh, that's fun.
That is fun.
No, that would be really fun. Or like Goldie gets taken over by some like spirit, and then JC Marla has to try and get it out of her.
We do like, we have like a sleepover and we do a Ouija board, but it goes wrong.
It goes horribly awry.
Oh my. There we go. There's our next episode. All right. So in the world of Hallmark Mysteries, there's basically two kinds, I think. There's the one where it's really the mystery with a lot of the red herrings, where they're really, mm-hmm. it's like the mystery is the thing and they're trying to stump mm-hmm. you and lead you right to the end. And then there's the others, which are more the characters and the relationships in the story, you know, along with a mystery, but the mystery isn't really the driving force.
It's secondary.
It just is a mystery, right? What would you say, because I've got my opinion, how would you put Curious Cater in those two buckets?
It's a good question.
I feel like we have a good balance of both, to be really honest with you.
Yeah, I mean,
cop out answer.
Well, Eric,
I'm being honest though.
Thinking about it because, as you know, I write these and it's really it's interesting because people are like, it's impossible to do a mystery but also do the characters within it. And I'm like, no, go watch True Justice. We did it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you can do both, right? You can do both. You can tell a mystery and all the red herrings and everything that goes in it, and also build character along the way. I think, you know, what's hard about like, say, a pilot episode, you know, when you just do one, which is why, Eric, you were so smart by saying the last time we spoke, it's like, you need at least three. You need at least three of each one of them, which, by the way, the network, I think, listened. But you need at least three to really learn the characters, hook into the characters, let those stories unfold. But it's really hard because I do think kind of coming out of the gate, you really have to hook them with the mystery and give them enough character so that they like the people, but that mystery really gets you. And then in the second one, you can open up the characters a little bit more within the mystery. And then I feel like for example, maybe this last Curious, there was a lot of personal story that unfolded, but within the context of the mystery. And if you're doing it right, that's how you're doing it, I think. I don't know, Eric, what do you think? Where would you put Curious? I'm curious to know where you would place us.
I would put them both, by the way, and going back to True Justice, I would put True Justice still in the characters and the story. Now, once again, does not mean the mystery is bad, but
yeah,
it just, like, you get so invested in the people and you're kind of bummed out that once again, someone ends up being the killer. Particularly in True Justice, but I put Curious Caterus, and I think you actually nailed it though. And we just talked about this for the last Crimes of Fashion, which they did a pretty good job there of really focusing on the mystery. And yes, there was some of the character, but it was really focusing on that mystery, just like you said though, because you got to get people into it, right?
You got to.
And then that second one, and maybe this is how Curious Caterer went too. That second one, as we said, that's where the characters really start blossoming because we already know basically who they are. So you don't have to spend the time saying, oh,
to introduce them.
Marla
get to know,
is
yes.
a florist, right?
That's right.
Florist.
That's right.
Come on. But
florist.
You know, you get to spend that time now, you know, focusing on the other thing. So I think you nailed it. That's the way I think you need, and it gets back to the three, right? That first one, nail
three,
that
mystery,
get people sucked in, and then give them the characters.
That's
and I think
right.
That's where and you are with Curious.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I do think that's the right potion, especially for our audience. But I think in general, like I know from myself of watching a lot of mysteries. And then Megan and I also have a true crime show that's not Hallmark. And, you know, even with that and developing that and building that out, that is a real life mystery. It was a Dateline episode. It is a very serious story about a woman who was falsely convicted of the double homicide of her parents, right? And even with that, as we were developing it, we were so focused on the mystery aspect. I mean, Megan and I both became, we became private detectives. Like, we had a box that the lawyer on the case sent us of all the materials, and we just poured through those materials. We have 30 something hours of recorded conversations with neighbors and lawyers and people involved in the case. And we were so focused on the mystery that we had missed why people want to care about them in the first place. Why do they want to care about her, you know, at the end of this series? Why do they care about her not being convicted or her being exonerated if they don't follow her and really fall for her and really see her as a character? So I think that perfect kind of recipe is, yeah, you really have to give the good mystery, but you also need the people to invest in the characters. And if they're not investing in the characters, they're kind of going to be like, eh, I guess I'll tune back in. But if you can have a so-so mystery, but if you're invested in the characters, people will come back.
Agree. Totally agree. And one of the things that when we review some of the mysteries and the ones that don't necessarily hit for us usually tends to be the one where they're totally trying to do both too much in that first episode.
Oh yeah.
They're really trying to build those characters ton and do a total big mystery. And you, mm-hmm. I just don't think in an hour and 24 minutes you have that room. So
yeah,
I love the way you said it. Get the one going, plant enough of a seed where you care about the character. And then the second one, you get to undo the onion or whatever that's
saying. That's right. So. That's right. Okay. I'm glad we agree, Eric, because yes. I do actually, I mean, you know, I listen to your podcast
all the time
and I listen to all of our audience, but especially yours, because you're very seasoned with mysteries. You don't miss anything. And if you say, oh, this gave it away, or this I think I could have done without, or this I felt like, those are things that I want to pay attention to, not just as an actor that's bringing something to life, but as a writer that's bringing something to life in the world of mystery. I listen to that and pay attention to that because it helps me to go like the next time around to go, you know what? They saw this coming, or you know what? Maybe we had, when we were building this, a little too much of this or not enough of this. So let's lean into it. And I feel like at least for this last Curious Cater, there were some things that the fans were really, you know, really wanting, and also conversations that you had had on your podcast. And I was like, you could ask Andrew. Andrew and I usually coach with my writing partner, Megan, before every movie. And I was like, listen, this is the feedback that I have received. I had a whole page. This is the feedback that I've received. So this is what we're going to have to bring to the table, because I want to give our audience, like, it's 90 minutes of your life. I want to give them what they came for.
Well, once again, led right into it. So Andrew was supposed to be on the pod, not this particular episode, but he's supposed to be on promoting this movie. And he's like, yeah, I'll be on. And then he's like, hit me up close to the movie. Okay. I hit him up and he's like, hey, I'm in Malta. I'll be back next week. We'll do it then. And then he's didn't get a hold of me. So I hit him up a couple of days later. He's like, oh, I'm up in Canada doing something, whatever. And so he's been blowing me off. So he's not in the top of my list. So what I want to hear
but JC and I are.
Is yes, absolutely. So I'm going to hear from you guys. What's an embarrassing story of his from the set? And don't worry. It's just between us. So you can say anything. Don't worry about it. It can be as embarrassing
part,
as
this
can
part
be.
Won't be broadcast.
No.
Where do we begin, JC? Where do we begin?
Yeah, I don't even know where to start.
He's such a character.
Every day really is a joy with that one. I mean, he's entertaining on and off screen. Just the talent is.
That's not very embarrassing. And I know you got something, so don't hold back.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like I didn't have a ton of scenes with him in this one, even though we were like on set. So I feel like Nikki probably
you were
has more
with him drunk at a karaoke bar
to dig from. Well.
By the way, they didn't allow booze in that karaoke bar.
What?
They did not.
I know. That was...
No, Utah?
No, right? Mm. It was shocking. I was like, how do people sing then? I don't understand.
They don't have a license.
Courage. No, I know.
Yeah, they don't have a license.
Yeah, I would not be up on that stage without booze, but...
you know,
I think at one point him and Riley were up on the table dancing and singing. I can't remember what song it was.
Did he have his shirt on?
Probably some Blink one. Yes, all clothes remained on during the whole evening.
I can see him as being a kind of guy who doesn't mind removing his shirt in some of those dancing.
Oh yeah, he doesn't have a problem removing his shirt. Or, you know, Andrew is we call him the Tom Cruise of Hallmark because he's just so excitable. And whatever it is just, he's so into it. And
it's 1,000% always.
But so much so that sometimes I will be like, right, but we're sad in this scene, Andrew. We are sad. Somebody has died. And he's like, oh yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Yep. Somebody has died. That's right. Like there was a moment in this last one, I was behind the monitor with Paul and it's like the murder has just happened and it's the scene right after it. And Andrew gives this line with that Andrew kind of like charm and his like smile and everything. And I leaned over to Paul and I said, you got to go in there and remind him that somebody just died. And Paul was like, yeah, copy that. That's right. And so, he goes in and he goes, So Andrew, like, I love it. I love it. I just want to remind you that there's a dead man on the ground. And Andrew was like, oh yeah, that's right. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. This is serious business that we're doing. This is serious. And he like then did the next take and then was like, and then he nailed it. But I think sometimes he just needs to be reminded in the moment, you know, because he actually does also have so much going on. You know, he launched a skincare line, and there's always, he's kind of always juggling a lot of things. So it's, you know, as a team, we kind of go, okay, this is what we're doing. But I will say there was one amazing moment at a Christmas convention where Andrew, so Paul scaled, you know, they have these ropes to block off lines, right? And so it's like, so the people stand in lines and it blocks off areas and sections. And Paul Campbell like scaled it. He did like a standing jump, like jumped over it and landed on the other side and like nailed it. And he was like, whoa. And Andrew was like, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to, I got this. And he missed. He missed. And he face planted. And it was, it like, I have, like, it's on video too. We have it on video. And it's the best thing. This is so Andrew Walker and why we all love him so much. He got right up, no shame. And he said, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. And then he did it the second time and nailed it. It was just like, no. I'm not going to let that rope get to me. I'm going to get up there and I'm going to do it again. And this next time I'm jumping the rope.
Was this in front of fans, Eric, or was this like beforehand?
Yes, Eric. It was in front of like a convention center full of people.
That's awesome.
Oh, awesome. Man. I can just envision that. I really wish I would have been there.
I'm going to post it on his birthday along with like all the other like behind the scenes videos I have of him. He stretches constantly, Eric. There's never a moment where he's not stretching his legs.
Oh,
you know what I mean, JC? He's constantly like stretching always. And like always
leg
and
up, always... leg up on the chair or on the table. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I got to stay ready. Yeah. He truly is the Tom Cruise of Hallmark.
Well, then Tom Schultz needs to get his act together because Goldie's the one saving his butt. He's like, and you come running in there and doing it all. He's all stretched.
I love that dynamic though.
He needs to be stepping it up.
Well, she's a mom. She's 10 steps ahead. She can't let she just can't let the bad things go down, which I can totally relate to.
All right. Well, since we are on the throw Andrew under the bus thing. Now, Nikki, first of all, this is for you. And then JC, you have yours. Andrew and Lachlan have fallen over a cliff and you can only save one.
Oh, don't do that.
You have to answer.
No, Eric.
Who are you saving?
I have two hands. I'm going to save them both.
Exactly. You have a different question. He's like, shut up, Marla. You have a different question.
Who are you saving?
Are you saying Andrew and Lachlan? Or are you saying Tom and like, is it the characters or is it the...
Hmm.
Oh, good clarification.
Well, now you just tricked my trick question here. We'll go. All right, we'll make it easy for you then. We'll do the characters.
Oh.
Your ex-husband or your pending
the father of your character.
I was just gonna say though, Eric, it's the father of my child. Like, I mean,
yeah,
I
but
can't...
He did that kiss at the beginning of grilling season. Cringe kiss.
That's what you guys, can we talk about that kiss? It was so amazing. And by the way, JC and I were standing there watching take after
Forget
take
watching,
after take.
Listening. You could just hear it a mile away, I'm sure.
Lachlan just went in.
The first time that they did that take, I thought that, because Lachlan's a funny guy, right? He likes to have a good time on set. And so he'll do things that are kind of goofy and whatever. And I thought it was a joke. I thought he was kidding. And then they did the second take and the third take. And I was like, oh my gosh. But you know what? It's really funny. And the way that they edited that, like going back to your face, like, wow, it's so, man, it was, yeah, that was gold.
Oh, it was so funny. I mean, he just committed. He never does anything where he doesn't commit fully, and he just fully committed to that. I mean, I think I have to save my work husband. You know, without Andrew, without Tom, like there is no Curious Cater. There's no Goldie without Tom, you know? And I love Lachlan. That's a hard one. That's a really unfair question.
Well, JC has a
Totally.
tougher one.
Does she?
Oh,
Oh, God.
JC. So you have, and this is not characters, this is actually Andrew. So you have
Oh no,
Andrew
we're getting personal.
and a box of Cinnabons has fallen over a cliff. Who are you
That's
saving?
so hard for her. I
Oh
don't think you understand
man. I
how
know
hard
JC
that
likes her
is.
food.
She
You know, does.
had you said Cheez-Its, I would have gone for the Cheez-Its.
Totally.
However, with Cinnabon and Andrew, I will go for Andrew. Because you know what? Also, that's job security for me because if we've been doing these movies forever.
You don't need.
So, Andrew, all the
You just have the box of Cinnabon
Selfishly.
instead of Tom Schultz.
By the way, though, if it was a thing of Cheez-Its, Andrew would have been
I would
up
be
the creek.
questioning. Yeah, I would have been questioning
Cheez-Its.
it. There would have been
All
hesitation.
right, noted for appearance four.
I will
Okay.
say, at JC, you know where JC's sitting in the green room. At any given time, I can walk into a giant green room where there's like 15 cast members, and I can be like, she's there because there is just wrappers of all the eaten snacks that she's had. And then there's more snacks that is sitting next to, and it's everything from like the gummy bears to the Cheez-Its. To some kind of cracker, other cracker situation, to some other, like
Oh, yeah.
it is just, it's snacks. It's just, she is lives for snacks, and I love it so much.
Yes, yeah,
I
that's
will
the
get
thing I
us
got to know
sponsored by
about her.
Cheez-Its at some point. Cheez-Its
It
will
would be
be sponsoring us. That's my
amazing.
goal in life.
Well, in the next one, you can just do a little scene where you have the. Wait, isn't Cheez-Its what you made the back in the
Yeah.
last one? You made like
That's
homemade
right. Yeah.
Cheez-Its?
That's right.
Yeah, the
Okay. All right.
cassava that had the poison.
Let's talk a little future now. So we got our foil
Oh
plans
yeah.
going. It's got
Yeah.
the costume trope thing going. I have to say, I absolutely love
Mm-hmm.
that.
Oh, it was
So
fun.
right there,
It
you've
was
got
awesome.
me. I'm in. But so what about this one though, that's new and different other than Marla making out for three quarters of the movie?
There's a lot of romance in this one. A lot of
Seriously?
romance. Yeah.
Wait, so
Whereas
that's
I
is that a
feel
strong hint that maybe Goldie and Tom move down a little bit? Okay.
there's a lot of it's romance and you know the reason I
Sorry, if it's
really
Mason gets a girlfriend and that's your thing, I'll be disappointed. The two of you are the ones that we're looking for. We're not looking for Jake or
Eric.
Mason and whatever.
Well, you know the way that they it was really perfect for this specific movie because in any other kind of world, you know, if we were doing a number four, to have this much romance wouldn't necessarily fit into our movie series. But because it was in this castle and it was like a ball, a gala that everybody was coming to and they were dressed up in costume and in general, you know, if that happens, there's a romanticism to that. It's like everybody's getting dressed up and there's a feeling to that. So the stories really lent themselves organically, the romantic stories, to the world that we were in this specific movie. So I do think that it's a slight bit of a departure, I would say, than normally what we do. But it works organically in this world. And I think I actually that our audience, especially the ladies, Eric, you will be satisfied, I will say this, with Goldie's storyline romantically, and even Marla's storyline romantically, without giving anything away.
Okay, I think you just did, but okay.
No. I just, it gets more complicated than that,
Okay.
like towards the end. It gets a little bit more complicated. But
Marla and Mason? No, no.
no,
Oh,
no,
can you
no, no, no.
imagine?
We're never doing that. We're never doing
No.
that. No,
No,
I will be
that's not
like,
a thing.
no, we're not doing that.
He's too
But
young.
there is a lot of romance, and I think people will really enjoy that in this episode a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a good time too
How
in the series to put that forward.
much are you in your in the costumes
The
in
whole
the
movie.
whole movie?
The whole movie. Oh yeah.
How
It was
fun
a
was that,
dream.
like wearing costumes as opposed to your
Awesome.
normal
I
outfits?
mean, they were so heavy. Eric, like my
Yeah.
shoulders and my back and my neck and everything was so sore that it ached. I would have to like come home and put myself in like Epsom salt at the end of the day. My dress alone, like if you picked up the whole dress, it was like 30 pounds. And
Yeah.
then it was so tight. Like it was literally like corseted tight that like your whole body just clenched all day long and you didn't realize. I was like, how are people wearing these? But so that was the only downside. Besides that, they were beautiful costumes, killed it. They had
Oh.
such a short piece of time to get everybody dressed in and they just killed it. But the other thing I will say about the whole costume of it all is normally we're changing in these movies sometimes upwards of like 14, 17. I've been on some movies where there's 20 something costume changes. We didn't have to worry about that. It was one costume, you put yourself in it, and you're in it all day long. And it was a dream.
That's why I was just gonna ask,
Yeah,
based
it was.
on that suit, but was there literally one dress, or did you have like multiple ones
One dress.
for 2 weeks?
Three.
3 weeks? Okay.
Yeah.
Who is the
Yeah.
costumer for this? Because it's not in the release from Hallmark.
Her name is Trish, and her last name is Trish Petrovich.
Okay.
Petrovich.
Well,
And
if she's on
which
Instagram, I'll make sure I start tagging her
translates
and
to genius is her last
translates to
name.
G
So
yeah, for
she.
sure. I mean, I don't know. I mean, when I read it and I realized like how kind of short a period of time she had to, and how big this cast is. I mean, it's the
Yeah, I
biggest
saw that.
cast in any Hallmark movie I've ever been on. It is the biggest cast, and she had a giant lift ahead of her, and also getting everything over to Vancouver Island, and then hoping that everything fit, that she got everyone, because she had to source costumes, not just from Vancouver and warehouses, but she had to fly them in from overseas. She had to like source costumes from so many different places. What she pulled off in this movie is a miracle, and we're so lucky that we had her.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I was concerned going into it. I was like, how is our wardrobe person going to do this? And after my first fitting, I landed in Victoria, went straight to her house to fit, and I left and I was like, we're fine. She's got this. She's a boss.
Whose dress is better?
Yeah. Oh, well, I In
mean,
what respect?
I don't know. Like, which one are you wearing when you go to the Emmys to collect your best
I
acting?
loved my dress. But like Nikki looked so amazing in hers as well. So I know that I never would have looked like that. And I never
And I wouldn't
really
have
would have
looked
fit in
like
that. It
that.
was,
And
okay.
they were chosen so perfectly for the characters
Agreed.
that
Agreed.
yeah. They were
And
both
then you'll
just
see that, like,
brilliant.
I agree. And you'll see that, like, when you see Goldie and Tom together, the outfits look even better
Yes.
because she really, like, made them look like they were almost like they decided what they were going to wear together. Like their outfits are so perfectly in tune with each other. And then, like I said, Marlo just looked like a labyrinth princess, and it was so perfect on her. So I don't think that Goldie would have been, that wouldn't have been the dress for Goldie to wear, and my dress wouldn't have been the one for Marlo to wear. They were just so different, but perfect. Yeah, for each person.
Yeah.
JC, did you steal yours and now you're going to be wearing it like when you go out Friday?
I didn't steal the dress. I had thought about it a couple times, but they did let me take the diadem home, the little crown. So
Yes.
I do have that.
And oh, So you just wear a crown around now when you just go around like to the grocery store?
I do. I wear it around my house sometimes. I'm not going to lie.
We have Nikki sitting there talking about her hanging out at the castles in Lance Bass's party, and you're just wearing a crown. Okay. All right. Are there any Easter eggs in this that we should be looking for?
Oh, that's a good question.
None that I'm aware of.
That's a really good question. I don't think so in this one, because again, it's such a different world that I felt like it was the world of, it was like, you know how, like when you have like a series, like for example, The Bear, I don't know if you watch that. And then there's like the Christmas episode that's smacked in the middle of it, which is, oh my gosh. And it's such a different episode than all the feeling of tone of all the other ones. And it's kind of
the Fly episode, yeah. Like in Breaking Bad, right? It's that one thing that just kind of pops out of nowhere.
Yeah. So it was just such a different world that we didn't build any kind of Easter eggs into it. It wasn't really a moment to really do that. But I do love, like, especially Megan and I have, if we're writing something, we love to throw Easter eggs in there. And Eric, you always get them. Like in a True Justice, you got that, like the judge was, you know, Judge McNulty, which is McNulty.
It was on my
Megan's,
second viewing.
Was Megan, is Megan's last name. So we love to kind of throw in Professor Ambrose. Megan's husband is Stuart Ambrose. So Professor Ambrose in True Justice is named after Stuart, who is, you know, got 1400 master's degrees, and he is so brilliant and so bright. And like, you know, so we kind of we honored him with that character. So we love to do that as writers, but, you know, I don't write Curious Cater. I'm very involved in it, but I don't write it. I'd love to put more little Easter eggs in there for everyone to find.
All right. So just wrapping up, should we be doing a rom-com about an ex-girl band? With the two of you guys as the leads.
Like a
I don't
girl's
know.
Five
it may be a stretch for you, Nikki. You may have to, I don't know, do some investigation or whatever, some research.
Listen, if that's...
I think you're really going to like number five.
Sign me up.
All right. So what's next for you both?
Well, right now, Megan and I are trying to finish a first draft for a Christmas movie
that will be for
next year. Mm-hmm. We're on our draft, so we're trying to finish that up, which is really fun. And then we have we got some other things picked up that I can't announce, but I will say that, you know, Eric, you'll be really happy about some of those pickups. And we're working on, you know, treatments for those things. And so right now, just like really totally in writer's mode. I can't wait to find out what movie I'll do for Christmas this year. I don't know. Am I going to be grieving? Am I going to be laughing? I don't know.
Well, how are you going to be making us laugh?
And that's what I'm up to. What about you, JC?
I'm actually filming a Christmas movie starting Friday.
Nice.
So I'll be on set for the next, you know, couple of weeks, and then who knows after that. Got a lot of travel plans happening this summer. Yes. You know, just kind of hanging out. The interior design stuff on the side. I was telling Eric that I've been doing that a little bit more in the off time, so that's been a lot of fun. But yeah,
people don't know that about you. That I mean, she's during takes, she's sitting there and she's designing rooms and closets and kitchens. And all, I mean, she's just, I will say this, there's nothing that JC can't do. That's number one. And, like literally nothing that she can't do. And also if you have a question about anything, you'll be like, I don't know how to get this stain out of my chair. And she'll be like, don't use that. Don't use that here. I'm going to tell you exactly how to get that stain out. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. She's like that person. She knows all the restaurants, all the coffee spots, how to get all the hacks for things. And she could do anything. I could be like, JC, my car won't start. And she'll be like, one second. pop the hood. The next thing you know, the car is running.
I'm a bit of a jack of all trades. That's very, very true. I have the most random knowledge too. I think I need to go on like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or something, because
you do.
But thank you for saying that, Nikki. That's very sweet of you.
It's true. I'm like, it never ceases to amaze me. I'm like, you're over there designing a house for somebody. Like, what? It's amazing.
Oh, well, I'm on a podcast as a guest tonight where I'm supposed to reveal my Mount Rushmore of male actors for Christmas movies.
Oh, what is your Mount Rushmore?
You know, what's interesting, I was telling JC this before we started recording. What's tough for me is I don't think the actors that I would normally pick, the Christmas are their best movies. So now I will be... No surprise, Christopher Plaha.
I know he's so good. He's so brilliant. I mean, have you seen? I'm blanking in this moment, and I went to see the premiere of it. It's the last movie that he did. It's
The Shifter.
The Shift. You know, Hallmark and what he does on Hallmark. He's incredible. I mean, when you go and see The Shift, and I've worked with him. You know, we worked together on North Shore in 2004, and that's how we met. And then he was on Ringer, and I got to come and do a reoccurring arc on Ringer. And then when I was on Awkward, we brought him in to play my ex-boyfriend. We worked together in all these different capacities. And he is just such a brilliant actor. And if you go see The Shift, you really see what he's capable of. Just the depth of what he can do. So I second it.
Like, it'll sound snobby and it's not meant to be, but I do view him as like just an actor who's just a whole different level than everybody else on the network. So not insulting to anybody else. So then my second is Victor Webster, and I had to reach for my Christmas movie for there. Then Luke McFarlane.
Luke is great.
Because I just loved I loved what he did in the Catch Me If You Claws. And then the last one was Paul Campbell. And once again, I had to reach for the Christmas one there, as it's like kind of forcing their Christmas ones in. So I can't even say like they're my favorite Christmas movies that they're in. But so I just stuck that in.
I think Chris is incredible. And I've worked with Luke McFarlane too. And he's such a talent. Have you seen the TV show Platonic yet?
I have not.
JC, you would love it. It's Rose Byrne.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's Rose Byrne and Seth Rogen. It's half hour. It is hysterical. Luke is in it, and he's so good in it, but it is such funny writing. That's one of those that I binged from start to, I was just like, bleh. And there were moments in that show where I woke Ryan up. He was in a dead sleep, and I was laughing so hard that I woke him up from his sleep because I couldn't control my laughter. But like, if you want to go see Luke do something that's not Hallmark, that's different, go watch Platonic. He's so good in that.
Done.
Cool. I'm definitely going to check that one out. Add it to the list.
Done. All right. Well, thank you both very much. Looking forward to seeing the new Curious Cater. It is one that I truly enjoy. I don't want to say it's comfort food, but it's just one that you can count on for good consistency of a good mystery. So I enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Eric. I really appreciate you having us and all of your support. It really means a lot.
So I am a little bit upset about Marla Mason, but whatever. We'll let that go. All right.
No, seriously, Eric, it does mean so much, especially coming from you. And thank you for all your support and all the love that you give us. It means the world. And I actually can't wait to hear what you think about Curious Cater, because your feedback means a lot.
I know, but that's the thing that's so rough now, because what if I don't like it?
Then you can tell me.
I don't think that'll happen, but be honest.
I don't think it will either. Fortunately, well, that was, I told you before, that was my big thing with True Justice. Because I had talked to several of you, and all the I don't even want to say there's the supporting, the Justice Warriors.
Yeah, the
And
Justice
I was like
Warriors.
so nervous. And then I was like, thank God I liked it because it would have been so awkward. Oh, it would have been awkward. But
It would have been awkward.
yeah, it was a tough one. So fortunately it came out very good, but I'm sure this will
And
be,
whew.
especially with how you tease it with being that sort of Christmas bear type thing, it has me my brain spinning with ideas. So I
Well,
like
we look
the
forward
way
to
of
hearing from
coming a
you.
little from left field is what it sounds like, which is going to be
Yeah,
fun.
it will be. Well, thank you, Eric. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Eric. Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye.